Hey, everybody, this is Troy Duffy, writer-director of Boondock Saints 1 and 2. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies for this, the weekend of March something or other.
And March 12th.
March 12th, yes. It's actually the first weekend of South by Southwest here in Austin.
Well, you don't have the onslaught of people. We're recording this a little early, so you don't have
right.
You don't have everybody, all the bloggers sharing your apartment like a bunch of Haitian refugees.
Right. Actually, we're not running a refugee camp this year quite
really?
So much as we have in past years. This year we've got actually a friend of the show, friend of the Fat Guys, Jason Zingali from Bullseye.com's coming down.
That's
to
right.
Hang out. And then I've got Brian.
He wasn't able to go to the hot tub time machine junket because he had to come down for that.
I know. I'm sure he's going to be really disappointed in the fact that he gets to see Kick-Ass instead of hot tub time machine.
Hot tub time machine's funny.
This is what people keep telling me. Mm-hmm. I am still skeptical, but
no,
we'll
funny.
See when I actually get a chance to see it. But we, you know, we got him. We got the Brian Gibson, who's also been on Fat Guys of the Movies before. And,
yes.
And one other person, Kevin Kelly from
one other
Rejects.
Person, which you will name nameless.
No, our good friend Kevin Kelly. He's good people. So it's actually, I mean, it's gonna be pretty chill. I think we're gonna kick Dr. Abias out of Reject HQ just to see and see where he lands.
Should. Make him go homeless in Austin for a while.
Yeah. So I think it's gonna be fun. We're looking forward to a lot of cool movies. You know, maybe we'll talk about this later, but not really. But let's focus on the task at hand. We've got four movies to review this
it
week.
It is a big week for movies.
We've got the Green Zone. We're going to head into the Green Zone. We're going to
we're doing this again.
We're going to attend our family wedding. We're going to find out if she's out of my league. It's probably true.
It's probably.
And then once we find out that she's not out of my league, we're going to remember me as I traverse off into the wilderness of women.
There's a wilderness of women down there.
There is down here in Austin, but
it's all tattooed chicks for the musical part. They don't care about film bloggers. They want to see the musicians.
You'd be surprised at how much they like the film bloggers.
Really?
Yeah.
They like some meaty, hairy, neck bearded dudes.
You know, you'd be surprised. In the meantime, let's talk about where you can get a hold of us. You can go over to fatguysatthemovies.com. Get us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or shoot us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. You can also get us over on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can get us on Twitter, twitter.com/rejects, if you'd like to hear what I have to say about the world, and twitter.com/KevinCarr.
We want to hear the right
if you want to hear other stuff.
Yes.
So, I don't know. Let's do this thing.
And did you get the phone number? Because we do have a
It's 614-388-8735.
We'll have another voicemail from Merrill Barr, which we'll be playing in the third segment.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because he's been graduated to the third segment instead of earlier. But before we do any of that, we got to talk about movies because there's mm-hmm. four of them opening. And let's start with our family wedding. A Mexican girl marries an African American dude, and the parents fight. Let the hilarity ensue.
Your parents are gonna love me. They'll love me because I love you.
This is Lucia.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi, Angel.
And this is her family.
Give me the keys to the other truck. I'll tow the cars myself.
You know you don't pedal with your feet anymore, right?
This is Marcus.
What's up, Pops?
And this is his family.
Hey, stop. That's my car.
It's on the hook.
Now, their two worlds
Mom!
Are about to collide.
You towed my car.
Really?
Yes. We're getting married.
Now, have you seen this?
No.
No, I haven't seen
we're actually, it. We're actually recording it before my screening takes place.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm actually going to go see it, though.
Well, I give them credit. They're actually screening it. So, you know, mm-hmm. good for them. I don't know how well. Here's the thing. I checked. I was looking at Rotten Tomatoes earlier, and you can never quite tell when you have that, like, 5 or 10 reviews out there. But it was at the time I looked, it had 0.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like five or seven reviews, so it's not getting great reviews.
Mm-hmm.
It's America Ferrera from Ugly Betty,
mm-hmm.
and she plays the bride, and Carlos Mencia from The Mind of Mencia, who's a just colossally unfunny guy, in my opinion. He's he plays her dad, yeah. But I don't know who plays
He's like he's like the poor man's George Lopez.
Yeah, it's sort of like we couldn't get George Lopez. Let's get Carlos Mencia. Who? Oh, yeah.
He had a Comedy Central show.
He was supposed to replace Dave Chappelle. That's literally true. When Dave Chappelle went like nuts and like went to Africa and did some sort of didn't he go do some sort of vision quest or something? Do you remember that?
I don't know, I learned totally a lot about a vision quest this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It sounds really, really not fascinating.
That doesn't sound good. No.
Good. I just learned what it is.
You never know what a vision quest was?
Well, I mean, I kind of had a rough idea, but then I met someone who's like
a movie about. It's not just a movie about wrestling.
Well, then I met someone who's like on one. It's a total cop out, man.
Wait, they're on a vision quest. They're in the middle of one. What is it? 7-year vision quest?
Yeah, apparently it takes a long time.
Not really, but sure.
I guess, yeah. Who knows?
Maybe the hippie that you met this week on their long term vision quest. Yeah, but no, vision quest goes back to the Native Americans. They go out and find themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it was. But it does not involve some 25-year-old blogger smoking dope and drinking beer and going to a film festival. That is not a vision quest.
I will make sure that I mention that next time. Yeah, I don't think this is what that it's about.
Oh, okay. Anywho, Forrest Whitaker plays the groom's father, which that surprised the heck out of me because I'm like, wow, Academy Award winner Forrest Whitaker. As Idi Amin, as the father of the...
Well, he was in that really bad movie with Keanu Reeves that one time, so it doesn't surprise me.
Street Kings?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that he would be in a bad movie.
Yeah, he's done some bad stuff.
Not to say this is a bad movie, because I haven't seen it, so it's really hard to say.
I don't know. I'm not looking forward to it, but like I said, I can't give it a preemptive suck, because
you're not looking forward to it because you're xenophobic.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly why I don't want to see this. Right.
There you go. Right, I've solved the riddle.
Let's move on to the next one. Let's move on to the next one. The next movie is Green Zone. Matt Damon stars as a U.S. Army version of Jason Bourne rooting out weapons of mass destruction in the Middle East like a pig roots out truffles.
Who are you?
General, my name's Roy Miller. I'm a chief warrant officer with the U.S. Army.
Why are you here, Miller?
I came here to bring you in.
What do you think you're doing here, Miller? You're off reservation for a reason. What is it?
I came here to find weapons and save lives.
It's a little more complicated than that.
Well, not to me, it isn't.
Lori Day, Wall Street Journal. Does it make any sense we're still coming up empty?
No.
I'll be surprised if you like this one, because you're so Matt Damon phobic.
No, I like Matt Damon. I just have to say Matt Damon. I hope to God I never interview him, because I would totally.
Because he's going
to
be like, oh yeah, you're that guy.
And he'd just roll his eyes and be like, seriously, I've never heard that before.
He looks kind of tough. I think he could take you.
Why would he want to take me? All it would do is just validate my worth in the society.
I mean, he fought the little Mexican guy from Kimmel.
What? What the heck are you talking about? You're the xenophobe.
He fought the little Mexican guy from Jimmy Kimmel's show.
I didn't watch that. I don't like Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, it's really funny.
That's the
episode. Jimmy Kimmel's not really. I mean,
That's the real casualty of the whole late night wars that Jimmy Kimmel is still around. He wasn't involved in it.
Anyway.
I wish he was collateral damage.
Was this movie any good? I heard it was really good. I missed it because I was really sick the day of my press.
They didn't screen it in Columbus. But
oh, wow.
I'm looking forward to it. I love what Paul Greengrass did with the Bourne movies, and I'm pretty much expecting kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I have to say, because, again, I haven't seen it. But I'm looking forward to it. This is the one, if I had seen it, would probably be my recommendation this week. Preview for next segment.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Cool.
All right, well, we got to go to break.
All right. Back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and now we've talked about Green Zone, which I heard was pretty good, and that other movie, which I heard wasn't pretty good.
Yeah.
We have a movie that I've seen.
Yeah, wow.
Yes?
I've seen twice as many movies as you have this week.
Well, I think we should explain that I was stricken with a case of death-inducing food poisoning this week.
Really? It was actually food poisoning?
Yes, it was definitely food poisoning, and it made me welcome death.
Wow.
I ate at a restaurant called Bill Miller Barbecue here in Austin, Texas.
I remember you saying the other day, like, I'm going to go get some barbecue and salmonella.
Well, and yeah, and I've always heard that Bill Miller Barbecue is kind of middle-of-the-road barbecue as it is, especially for Austin.
Yeah.
But it was convenient, and we needed something quick on Oscar night, and they do takeout. So, and they were open. The one we wanted to go to wasn't open.
Mm.
So we got Bill Miller Barbecue and everyone got sick.
Everybody did?
Wow. And let's just say it was awful. I wanted to die.
Wow.
I wanted to die twice, maybe four times.
Did you get sick right away or was it like the next day?
I got sick pretty much right away.
Yeah, that's not good.
And I was sick, like sick. For about 20 straight hours.
Wow.
So, but I survived through it, and I've come out on the other end a guy who missed a bunch of press screenings.
I like the imagery is very appropriate to having food poisoning.
So, yeah, so there's that, I guess.
Well, thank you. It's like talking to my grandmother, finding out about her ailments.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to know more, we can go into this more in segment three.
We'll put,
but right now we have to talk about a movie that I've seen.
We'll put pictures on Flickr.
Yes. The movie is called She's Out of My League, in which a dorky dude, who's a 5, dates a hot chick, who's a 10. Let the hilarity ensue.
Do you know what your problem is, Kirk?
What?
You're a moodle.
A moodle?
A man poodle. Girls, they want to take you out on a walk, they want to feed you, they want to cuddle you, but no girl wants to do the moodle.
No one would ever do a moodle.
No.
I'd like to make it up to you. Do you like coffee?
Yes, I do. I don't get it. Why would she ask me out?
Are you nervous?
Yes.
This Molly is a hard 10. Meanwhile, the guy's a 5.
I think let the hilarity ensue is the catchphrase for this week.
Or let the fighting ensue?
Yeah.
Or let the...
What'd you think of She's Out of My League?
I liked it.
Really?
I thought it was kind of funny. Well, and here's the thing is it was written by the same guys who did Sex Drive.
Which is a much better movie.
Well, I mean, it gets some of the little characters right, and it gets some of the little character moments right. It is by no means a good movie. You know?
Okay.
It's not a great movie at all. Jay Baruchel's funny. Alice Eve, who plays the 10, is drop-dead gorgeous.
I don't think she's a 10, though. She's probably like an 8.
Well, I mean, everybody has a different definition of what a 10... There's a whole scene in a bowling alley in this movie dedicated to, like, the numbers game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all complete BS.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... but she... I mean, she's gorgeous, and...
Oh, she's good looking. I wouldn't kick her out of the bed for eating crackers.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty much 9 or 10 right there.
Okay.
The crackers thing, especially for you. You like crackers.
Oh, for me not kicking a... I mean, it's like a 4 and above. Get that ranking.
I hope your wife's listening. anyway, so you know what? It got some laughs. It got some laughs that I didn't expect it to get, and I enjoyed it because it was short and light and kind of raunchy in the same way that Sex Drive was.
So
although
sort of like how you pick a girlfriend, as long as she's short and raunchy, and
yeah, I guess you know, thin in the middle, raunchy. I guess
what?
Whatever.
Oh wow.
But interesting. But yeah, no, I mean, I enjoyed it. I would say if you liked a movie like Sex Drive, you'll also kind of like this one. It's not as I don't think it's not as absurd as Sex Drive.
Sex Drive,
which I think is where Sex Drive really wins.
Yeah. See, I love Sex Drive. I thought that was a lot of fun, and a lot of it. This one also does not have James Marsden in it, which is points against it because James Marsden was awesome in Sex Drive. But
right.
She's Out of My League. It's funny, but to me, it just has that. It has that feeling of wanting to do. There's a certain breed of independent romantic comedy where they just never quite get what they're trying to do. They're like, we want to do a romantic comedy, but we want to do a raunchy comedy, and they're trying to be sweet, but they're trying to be raunchy, and it's sort of like doesn't quite mix. And they say, oh, it's going to be raunchy, but then they like want to have this be this character-driven thing at times. And part of it is how do you say his name? Jay Baruchel?
Jay Baruchel.
Baruchel.
Yes.
he's fine as a side character. I don't think he can carry a movie. And I think that's where it was hinged on. And then he sort of has this rogue gallery of friends, and they're a little bit trite but awkward. It's like
although T.J. Miller, the guy from Cloverfield, is pretty funny.
Actually, both guys
from Cloverfield are in this movie.
It has some funny moments. It has some good moments, but on the whole, I really wasn't wild about it. I didn't think it was great. So, I mean, let's put it this way: compared to the next movie we're going to talk to, this is Oscar material.
We're talking to a movie next?
Well, next. We're going to talk about. I'm sorry.
This is what happens when I pay attention. I catch you in all kinds of weird flubs.
I've been traumatized by the next movie. So I'm going to say She's Out of My League kind of sucks.
I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
Okay. But that
just
leads
because I need to be.
You have to disagree.
Actually, just because it kind of rocks. I mean, I don't really care about being different from you at this point.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the next one because this is the one I have to.
Oh, I can't wait.
This one set a new bar. And when I say a bar, it's a low bar. Remember Me, Robert Pattinson and His Egregiously Large Head star in this angsty love story between a poet and a cop's daughter in turn of the century New York. And by turn of the century, I mean turn of the 20th to the 21st century.
You could do worse than have a father who bails you out of jail.
I don't want to be bailed out of anything.
He has got a daughter.
Who's got a daughter?
The cop that busted your face all up. He's got a daughter.
I know her. She's in my global politics class.
Go get her.
I don't date sociology majors.
Lucky for you, I'm undecided.
About what?
Everything.
Charles, it's your son.
Yeah, I was wondering if you want to have dinner.
How many?
Three. He can stand me up, but he can't stand you up.
Right. Oh, that's funny.
You didn't see this, did you?
No, this was actually the day I got really sick was my screening of Remember Me. And then the next day when I was still very sick was my screening of Green Zone. So I missed him 2 days in a row.
I would have rather had food poisoning than see this movie.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, no,
dude.
I would have.
Dude.
Oh, dude.
When we get off the air, I'm going to tell you some gross stories about my weekend, and you won't want to have...
I've had food poisoning.
Said that.
I'd rather have food poisoning than sit through this movie.
This is probably the worst food poisoning I've ever had.
I would rather have a blood transfusion with battery acid than to sit through Remember Me again.
Really?
This is how bad the movie was.
I never thought that I would hear that. Hear you say that.
I had to run out to my car for something in the middle of the screening, and it's funny, some other critics I happened to be sitting next to literally thought I wasn't coming back. And as I'm walking out, somebody I know is like, oh, how is it? I go, it's the worst movie of the year, by far. I said it's excruciating.
Awesome.
And I was only half.
I heard the ending sucks.
The ending is the stupidest ending on the planet. If you really want to know what
stupidest.
It is, you can go to Wikipedia. It totally tells the ending, right? It is supposed to be this big surprise, but it totally tells the ending in the summary of Wikipedia. But it was.
I'm going there now.
It is so.
I don't approve spoilers, by the way, kids.
It's colossally bad. And it's like an angry drunk. Have you ever been to a party with a drunk where it's like, it's not that good of a party and your friend's getting drunk and you don't like the guy anyways. Maybe he's not your friend. And he just starts acting like a jerk. And then it just gets worse. And then they do. And then they drink more and they get worse. And you never get out of there. You just let it go. And then before you know it, they're burning houses down and killing puppies and stuff like that. That's the way this movie is. Every time you think it's at its lowest point of trite, angsty garbage, it does something even worse. And then you see, I hate this character even. I didn't think it was possible, but it's sort of like, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, Genghis Khan, then Hitler, and then Tyler, the character that Robert Pattinson plays. He's below Hitler in likability by the end. He's just.
Oh my God, I just read the Wikipedia page. That's so stupid.
I'm watching it, and I sit there and I go, oh my God, seriously, they're going there? It is so bad.
And I know, I just said that like my mother talking about a soap opera in the middle of the day. Like, oh my God, that is so dumb.
No, it's,
but that's pretty much what it is.
Well, and here's the thing. The other thing is Robert Pattinson, he's got an enormous, his face is like a stop sign. I mean, you could use him as as a driver. You know how you golf club a wood, you know, has this giant, that's what he looks like. He looks like a golf club. And you could like do a scene with him and Malin Ackerman and they could bop around like the Red Queen from Alice in Wonderland. This is exactly what I'd expect from Robert Pattinson trying to get away from the Twi fans. He's like, I want to be a serious actor and I want to be brooding like James Dean and da da da. So he executive produces this movie and it is a just the worst movie of the year. I literally went back home and I started looking at all the releases from this year, and there's been some crap, like, you know, like Leap Year and the Tooth Fairy. This is the worst of the year, and this is set the new low. I mean, I will be all impressed, right, if Hollywood can get something worse.
So since this is such a monumental suck, we give it a special rating? Like, is there like a double totally sucks rating?
You said once, I believe your line was, it couldn't suck more, and that is my rating.
Fair enough. And with that, time for break.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. I've been done railing on Robert Pattinson in this hideously bad movie, Remember Me.
I have no response to your railing on Robert Pattinson.
All I have to say is it's almost worth seeing just so you have a new appreciation for how bad a movie can be.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Box office. I say we move on. Yes, please.
You were, and I was, because I agreed with you last week, which should prove I shouldn't agree with you. But anyways, you predicted $40 million for Alice in Wonderland last week, as I...
Yeah, I came up a little short.
It made that on Friday.
Yeah, how this movie made $116 million on opening weekend and nobody really predicted that is beyond
nobody
me.
Nobody saw that coming. Well, it's, you know what it is? I think it's for as much as everybody complains, there's a lot of people who just complain and complain and complain about 3D. And they're like, oh, it's a fad. I really don't, because I think 3D isn't for most people. I mean, there are people who get headaches and don't like the glasses, sure. But the new 3D, this digital 3D, it's no longer sort of like cumbersome. It's actually cooler. It enhances the experience. Whereas, like, when you go see a movie with, like, Creatures from the Black Lagoon, you kind of have to work through the 3D to get the effect. Whereas this polarized digital 3D, you put on the glasses, you can just watch the movie. And I think it's something you can't get at home. It's what I've said is why I think 3D makes money, is because you can't get it at home. And although they're talking about starting to release some Blu-rays in digital 3D, I still don't think we're quite there for the home viewing.
Oh, definitely not. Not quite the same as you are in the theater. Especially, I just think it's the size of the screen that matters.
Yeah.
You know, in this particular instance, because when you're sitting, say, in the, you know, forward section of a theater watching a 3D movie, it's incredible. Yeah. But trying to watch 3D on your, like, even if you have a big TV, like I have a 37-inch television, flat screen television, and it, you know, I'd have to sit right in front of it to get that effect.
It's one of those things that when you watch it on the big screen, you're like, oh, that's coming right at me. And then you watch it at home and you're like, oh, look, that's coming 6 inches out of the television. You know?
You're right. It makes
going to the theater cooler. And that's the thing. And you're never going to be able to see. This is the thing I said to people when Avatar was, I'm like, you got to go see it in the theater, because that's it. How it's meant to be seen. And once it's out of those 3D theaters, you're never going to see it as it was in the best possible scenario. You're still always going to see it either in 2D, or it's going to be a limited 3D at home kind of thing. And also, for something like Alice in Wonderland, anything Tim Burton does is visually cool. And there was talk, I saw a little bit of the news story, I think it was on Deadline, Deadline Hollywood, talking about how people are, you know, they talk, and maybe did Film School Rejects cover this, about they're talking about, like,
I don't know what you're talking about,
future of 3D and, like, even dramas being in 3D, like, would
Precious be in 3D?
I don't know if I don't know if people are going to go see just a movie like Precious, or, you know,
I think it's still kind of a thing for tentpole action movies, fantasy movies, science fiction,
kids,
stuff like that.
Something that, I mean, that warrants it.
It'll be interesting to see. I think one of the first movies that will be really interesting in 3D is, like, Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
Because it's the first, the first one we've seen this year that's primarily live action. Like most of the elements are live action, but it still has a ton of CG.
No, it's got a lot of CG, and it's going to be all enhanced. I mean, the clips I've seen of Clash of the Titans remind me more of 300, which I would yes, it's live action, but it's no more or less live action than
right
than Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. I think for movies like that, and for movies like Transformers 3, it'll work really well because you'll just get hopefully they'll do it right, and it'll just give you added depth.
I don't think it's going anywhere. I don't think it's a fad. I think it's because it's like putting sound to it. It enhances the experience.
So. Oh yeah, I definitely don't think it's a fad. I just think they need to be careful with the art form of it. I think Hollywood, the studios are jumping.
Yeah.
And
there's a bit of a stampeding to.
Yeah, and a lot of it, and the thing is that a lot of it's happening in the post-production process.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's happening after the film's already been shot, whereas like a film like Avatar was shot for 3D.
It was conceived, yeah.
Yeah, and it was designed for 3D, and that's why it works so well in 3D. Same thing with Coraline. It's like, so Clash of the Titans is another interesting one in the sense that it was essentially retrofitted for 3D.
Yeah, which
so we'll see how that looks, I guess.
Yeah, but then again, with so much, there's going to be so much CGI. I mean, I think you could retrofit. You could retrofit 300 for 3D and you wouldn't know because there's so many layers of elements,
mm-hmm.
which is why I think it might work for Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on. We got a voicemail from my Idiot Boxers co-host, Merrill Barr, again, because he's holding the audience hostage by sending a voicemail every week until the rest of the audience starts calling in.
Fair enough.
So let's play that real quick.
Hey, guys. It's Merrill. As promised, I'm calling in with an actual topic you guys can discuss. Neil, this one's for you specifically. When Kevin was on Spotlight, I asked him what he thought got snubbed from the Oscars this year. I want to know what you thought some of the biggest snubs were this year at all. Later.
That gives us to a bigger discussion. Oscars. What were your take on the Oscars, and what did you think got snubbed?
The Oscars were weird.
Okay.
The whole ceremony was weird. It was strange.
Yeah. I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch the Oscars at all?
I didn't watch. The only thing I saw of the Oscars is somebody sent me a clip of that documentary short, that acceptance speech where the crazy woman interrupted the director.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. Yeah. My favorite speeches of the night, I thought Sandra Bullock was, her serious speech was very good. Like, it was very touching. And Jeff Bridges was very epic. His speech went on forever.
Yeah.
And the French guy who won some award that doesn't matter. I think it was like documentary, foreign language, short. Was hilarious because he got up there and he apologized for being French.
And oh, good.
That was awesome. It was almost as good as the Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto from last year. But I think the only snub I can think of is really, I think cinematography was a real disappointment for me because they chose Avatar, which I really thought that Inglourious Basterds should have won.
No, but I mean, I don't think Avatar was undeserved.
See, that's the thing is there's been this huge discussion, especially in cinematography, about how much of that is actually the cinematographer. You know, in a movie that is pretty much animated, you know?
I think there just needs to be more definition because there's definitely cinematography involved. Just because you're using virtual light sources and it's all taking place in the computer doesn't mean that you don't have an overall look to it.
Right. Well, and I think but somebody made the joke, which, I mean, it's a little reductionist, but makes sense. It's like they should have sent the dude who did the After Effects up there to accept the cinematography award because, like, he's the one who really made it look good.
Yeah.
Or they should have sent an entire team of people, not just that one DP. And that's kind of what that award is. It celebrates that one person's effort. Yeah. But
is there anything that won or that wasn't nominated that you think should have gotten some recognition?
Well, I think, everybody kind of expects to say Moon. I mean, but I like Sam Rockwell. He should very well have gotten a leading actor. I don't think the movie was good enough to get a Best Picture nomination.
I don't think it was on anybody's radar. And I said this, Meryl, because I gave my 2 cents in for Meryl because his podcast I was on. And I said, I just don't think Moon was at the level of anybody noticing it outside of the people who saw the movie, you know.
Yeah,
it was a very independent
movie. Sure, there was no campaign for it. Sony Pictures Classic didn't campaign for it, but I don't think they were exactly wrong to not campaign for it, because, you know, you look at a company like Sony Pictures Classic, and they have, I mean, they won several Oscars. They won, I think, more than anybody else, because, you know, they had 5 or 6 films they had to campaign for, so Moon was just number 7, unlucky number 7 or something.
What were their films that won?
They had Parnassus was nominated. They had...
that was a terrible movie.
I think The Young Victoria was theirs, maybe? That was Fox. Let's see. Sony Pictures Classic had...
I don't know what they had.
The White Ribbon, Parnassus... A Prophet, which was nominated for... It was like all the foreign films. Or something. Oh, just okay.
The classics,
but, you know, I mean, but whatever. So you know, you have... Oh, they had Bright Star and movies they campaigned for.
Okay. Bright Star was Fox.
No, it wasn't. The Burning Plane. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of all the Sony Pictures Classic screeners that I got that weren't movies.
I just want to prove you wrong.
Just shut up. Anyway, so they had a bunch of other movies that they were promoting... Yeah. None of which were...
none of this
which
were...
Oh, An Education.
Oh, yeah, I heard that got nominated.
Yeah.
Didn't win anything.
So...
Fail. All right.
But anyway, so I don't think Moon's really a snub. I really don't feel like... I think this year was one of the first years where there really wasn't a huge snub, because you had 10 Best Picture nominees.
Yeah.
And the 10, I mean, you could have substituted any number of films for The Blind Side.
Which was not
for Best Picture. Which was not one of the 10 Best Pictures of the year. But beyond that, I don't really know if there was a snub.
Yeah.
There's no one that I was like, oh, that should have been nominated. You know, I mean, you have categories like Best Adapted Screenplay, where Precious won over Up in the Air, which I thought Up in the Air was going to win. But, you know, Precious was a good adaptation. It's a good script. I mean, what can you really do?
Yeah.
You know, so I think this year was probably the most fair and accurate year.
Were you going to say fair and balanced?
Fair and
Fox News.
Very Fox News year for the Oscars. I'm just glad. I think that it would have been sad if Avatar would have won.
But you know what? I've been saying for before the nominations, I said Avatar's not going to win. Mm-hmm. Even when I was picking Inglourious Basterds as my favorite, not my favorite, my personal favorite, but what I thought was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we got to move on. We got to do the Fat Guy 5, which is the 5 movies for St. Paddy's Day, since St. Patrick's Day is coming up on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got to all get drunk. Oh, I'll be here at South by Southwest. I'll be drunk anyway.
Getting drunk. There you go. well, you want to do the first one on the list?
Yeah, I brought one to this list, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's The Boondock Saints. Not The Boondock Saints 2, people. Okay. Not The Boondock Saints 2.
There you go.
Do not
Even though
watch
we got
that
we
movie.
Had Troy Duffy do the intro to the show, so.
I'm really sorry, Troy Duffy, but that second one was awful. The first one was really good. I really liked it. So watch the first one.
Because they're Irish, that's why. Because they're Irish.
Yeah. Oh, you know, and you know what? Another Irish movie.
What?
The Brothers McMullen.
Oh, puke.
Yeah, good movie.
I would, I'd watch that before I'd watch Remember Me again.
My mom likes that movie a lot.
Yeah. Gerard Butler's nowhere near that movie.
Dear Frankie, Gerard Butler's Irish movie.
Oh, okay.
The ones I got all kinds of Irish movies coming out of me.
I'll be. Nice, like food poisoning. Anyways, The Luck of the Irish,
today, anyway.
I got to do that. That's a Disney Channel movie, and the reason I want to point that out, not because it's Disney Channel, because it has Carlton Lasseter from Psych.
Fair enough.
Timothy Ombudsman plays a leprechaun in that movie, and he looks like a leprechaun on Psych, and so he's a leprechaun in here. Also, Darby O'Gill and the Little People, this actually is another Disney movie, but it's a classic one with Sean Connery, and it's about a guy who finds a leprechaun and the King of the Leprechauns. It's a classic Disney movie. It's actually one of the best uses of forced perspective to make the leprechauns really small.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Beer League, which has nothing to do with Irish, but there's plenty of drinking in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
What about what Circle of Friends? Have you ever seen that?
What are you talking about?
These are Irish movies that we're trying to think of here at Reject HQ.
You can just say, you can say anything, a random Irish movie. The Commitments. You know, no.
The real Commitments. True Irish movie. That's the greatest Irish movie ever.
No, the next one's the greatest Irish movie ever. Leprechaun.
I will fight you.
Leprechaun, starring, you know who was in that movie? You know who was in the original Leprechaun? Jennifer Aniston.
Yes, I know that Jennifer Aniston was in that.
Well, then why didn't you say anything? I asked you, you know, and you're like, no. That's, I'm going to say
it's
after
it's not
the
as
fact.
Good as The Commitments.
No.
Nothing's
Jennifer
as good
Aniston?
As The Commitments.
Jennifer Aniston being attacked by a leprechaun played by the Ewok? Awesome.
Imelda Staunton.
Yeah. Well, we got to go to a break.
Take that, Kevin Carr. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies, the show that knows and cares.
Yes, we kind do of. Know and we care. And we, in fact, we care so much. I'm going to let the audience know here for a second. There was a little bit of an emergency in the last break. I had to...
In that 30-second break, all of this happened.
All this happened, and I had to get the... one of the children, one of the car children, is now in the studio, in the magical studio in the sky.
You have children that are vehicles?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes.
Fascinating.
Wah, wah. When you have children, you'll have children that'll make flour out of corn. And
yep.
Miller.
They're going to be very useful in the commune that I'm going to be starting.
Exactly.
In which then no movies exist.
Yes.
Outlawing movies is the sheriff of my commune.
So if you hear babbling and giggling in the background or screaming and crying.
That's just Kevin.
That's just my kid. That's Nick. He's in the background. So I apologize to the audience as it is. So
I think you really just want people to believe that there's a child in the room and it's not just you giggling.
Yes.
And
there's also a dog
bubbling.
In the room, but she's pretty quiet.
Anyway.
Anywho, let's move on since we're here. What's up next?
Yeah, well, you know, it's the final segment, so we have to do the final segment things, which includes the world famous 156th installment of the DVD Roundup.
Someone's not happy about the DVD Rundown. All right, so you go with yours. Give me
yours. Yeah, no, I'm going to go with mine. My two up in the air and precious two Oscar nominees, neither one of which were really snubbed on Oscar night, as we just said. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
What did Up in the Air win? Did it win anything?
No.
Yeah, it was. So it was.
I mean, it didn't really deserve to win.
Well, It was snubbed from the actual winning the awards. It wasn't snubbed from getting nominations.
Yeah.
Is that how you define a snub? Is that how you're defining a snub? You're defining snubs as snubbed at the nomination process.
I guess.
I wasn't a big fan of Precious.
I liked Precious. Well, I mean, I didn't like. Nobody likes Precious.
I like watching that happen.
Yeah. I thought it was a good movie, a very good movie, and a very touching film. And
there was a lot of touching in that movie.
Anyway, so those are my two picks of the week. I really didn't. I mean, this was kind of a light week.
You had those kind of these award films, and then there's not a whole lot else.
Yeah, there are several movies that came out though that I hated that are on your list.
Well, for me it's just more or less mentioning that these are out. I mean, I can also mention Planet 51, but
which wasn't good either.
No, but Boondock Saints 2, I'm not a big fan of it. I know that I understand what he was trying to do. I just didn't think he did it well in the movie. I mean,
what he was trying to do is take all the worst parts of the first movie and like amplify them, crank them to 11, if I may.
Well,
and,
I think
it worked. It's just not good.
I think it was just more he was trying to do something different than the first one, but with the same flavor, and he kind of messed.
I think Nick is agreeing with me in the background.
He is. He totally
yes.
is.
He thinks that this movie is crap. Poopy crap.
Poopy crap. There you go.
Yeah.
That'll be on the poster.
Yep.
But on that token, I did talk to Troy Duffy. There is an interview up there on Fat Guys at the Movies if you want to listen.
Celebrating the anniversary of the first movie, which was good.
Well, but they were also... It's right around the anniversary of the first film and the DVD release of the second film. Same time.
Yeah, coincidental, I guess.
There's also Old Dogs, which I really didn't like, but I thought I'd mention it just because, like you say, I, you know, I'll you know, I give my nod to Disney when I have to, because I'm actually going out this weekend. I'm going to be in New York at the junket for The Princess and the Frog.
Oh, release. Look at you!
Yeah,
that's right, Princess and the Frog.
So that'll be cool. I was going to interview Miss Piggy, do an interview with Miss Piggy, but she's not available. I don't know what she has going on.
That's really unfortunate. We've been trying to get Miss Piggy on this show for a long time.
That was the most disappointing thing of the whole thing. But it'll be fun.
I'll see if you can get Kermit to talk about frogs.
Yeah, that would have been appropriate.
Yeah.
There's also, and then this is, because I mentioned this more for your sake than anybody else's, because I know what a huge fan you are. But the Hannah Montana, Miley Says Goodbye, it's the season finale of Hannah Montana.
Just the season finale or the show finale?
No, the season finale. It's renewed for a fourth season. So that, I guess, that kind of spoils what happens in the show. But I know that you're a huge Hannah Montana fan. I mean, I figure since all the women go nuts over Taylor Lautner when he was underage, you can go nuts over
Miley. I guess. I still feel dirty, though.
You should always feel dirty. You look dirty.
Fair enough.
Stinker of the week, Capitalism, A Love Story.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least my stinker. I don't know what your stinker was.
My stinker is Boondock Saints. I didn't see Capitalism, A Love Story, so whatever. But Boondock Saints 2 can suck on it.
Mm.
So that's a technical, critical term there.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, time to wrap up our reviews this week. We kind of maybe saw some movies. Our Family Wedding.
That's the way you wrap up the review?
What?
We kind of maybe saw some movies.
Well, yeah.
You're a crazy man.
Anyway, Our Family Wedding, we didn't screen, so,
Didn't see yet. Green Zone, we didn't see yet. You were sick.
Yeah, I missed it because I was really sick. She's Out of My League, I said kind of rocks.
I said kind of sucks.
And Remember Me, which you saw...
sucks worse than everything else.
And I read the Wikipedia page and decided that it also sucks. Next week, I will not be here. We have someone stepping in to take on this heavy duty lifting over here that I'm doing.
Can fall asleep during the show.
Yeah. And we have, we'll be reviewing The Bounty Hunter, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and Repo Man, who sent us a fake plastic heart, which I think is the best way to end the show. In the meantime, fatguysthemovies.com.